Yes, yes, it is, Seth Payne. Yes, it is. All right, a little something we like to call I Think, I Know, I Fear, Texans Edition Week. We're going into Week 12.
11?
Yeah. Well, we just finished up 12? Week 11. We just finished up Week 11. All you fantasy football nerds out there, too.
They know.
If you had Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill last night, which the guy I was playing had both of them.
Oh.
Dude put up a 200 spot on me last night. The dude put
your defense
up
defense needs work.
200 spot.
Who's your coordinator, man? Oh, man. I'm telling you. Fire that dude.
Stevie Wonder. That's who my, that's who my defensive coordinator is.
Jeez.
Man, that was a rough night last night.
Too funny.
Now, here I was. I had that Josh Reynolds kid. I'm thinking, okay. And then I look. Because I don't
look. Yeah, good game.
Yeah.
Almost had another touchdown.
Yeah, if he'd have had seven touchdowns, and maybe I would have had a chance.
Missed his second touchdown by a toenail.
And Deshaun Watson killed me this weekend. But anyway, that's another story. I digress. All right. I think, I know, I fear. I think the Texans defense can slow down some of the top offenses. I think they could slow down the Chiefs. I think they could slow down the Rams. I think they could slow down. I think they could slow down the Saints. I really do. But eventually, they'd have to make a play, and then you'd have to rely on what we like to call in the business complimentary football.
Oh, gosh.
Because at some point, your defense is going to get burnt. And especially if it's, okay, they keep holding them, they keep holding them, they keep holding them, and you're saying, okay, we need offense to make a play. Because the thing about those kind of offenses, you can't hold them down the entire game.
You can't.
You might hold them down a quarter, you might hold them down a half, but eventually the levee is going to break.
If the Texans play the Chiefs, they're going to have to win with offense. You know, because they can only stop, even if they hold them to three field goals, they're still going to score four more touchdowns. You know what I mean? Let's say if they hold the Chiefs to three field goals and you think win, 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 which it would be.
Yeah.
All right. You're still giving up, was that 37 points?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's going to happen. It's going
so
to
you
happen.
Bet, the only way they can beat the Chiefs is with offense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Solid take by you, John.
I think that the Texans, if they go 11-5, they're going to have a very, very strong chance at a first round bye in the playoffs. And I think the Chiefs are going to be your one seed, but I think if you look at the teams in front of them, New England, San Diego, and who am I missing out?
Steelers.
New England, San Diego, and the Steelers at 7-2-1. I think if 11-5 could potentially, and I think there's a strong possibility, could get you a first round bye if you're the Texans.
I think you're right. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. Yes, you heard it here first. I think the Texans and Titans are going to score a lot of points. You know, the Titans have the 23rd. They rank 23rd in sacks and 30th in pass defense.
Oh, damn.
They're 30th in pass defense. You got some healthy receivers coming in for the Texans all of a sudden.
That's what nearly killed Dean Pease over the weekend.
I think that, well, I say high scoring. Maybe it'll be a blowout, but I don't know how much the Titans are going to score. But I think it's going to be a high-scoring game on the Texans' end. They're going to put some points. I think they're going to put some points on the board Monday.
Derrick Henry is always good for one garbage touchdown in the fourth quarter, so you can bank on that. Yeah. But I do agree with you on that, though. There will be points to be had. And if we remember last year, was it 57-16 or something crazy like that? Was
the final 22.
Score 57-14?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat the brakes off. And that was a tough post locker room discussion that we had to have with the Titans after that game. I know, and this pretty much dovetails to exactly what you've been saying, I know this offense is going to have to open up if they are going to make a run against the better teams. Because as I said, the defense can do its thing for a while. They can hold them. But at some point, your offense is going to need to score points. And I don't mean field goals. You're going to have to score touchdowns. So while
you're not talking about just against the Titans.
I'm just talking about in general. I know this offense. And listen, I know John's been saying a lot about the offensive line. I was just reading an article right now about the Seattle Seahawks and how bad, and we all know how bad their offensive line has been over the last few years. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. Mike Solari comes in, changes their blocking scheme, and guess what? They got one of the best rushing offenses in the NFL all of a sudden.
Yep.
And again, I got to believe that just because it's Dwayne Brown as left tackle, that is not been the end-all be-all for it. All right, so again, I gotta believe that this Texans offensive line can be better than what we've seen.
I know that if the Texans win 6 days from now against the Tennessee Titans, they only have one team to worry about in the division, and they don't even have to worry that much. But if you beat the Colts next week and you go up three games against them in the AFC South, you can put them in the rear view along with the Jacksonville Jags, and then you'll have the Colts 2 weeks from then. You can eliminate the Tennessee Titans with the Monday night win.
Yeah. Oh, no question. I think your biggest competition is going to be the Colts. Yeah. I know JJ's going to get at least one sack. It's a Monday night game. He's a big, you know, say what you will. He makes a lot of big plays anyway, but he's a big primetime player. They're always, you know, focusing on him, interviewing him, doing these, you know, focusing the camera on him, miking him up, and he always comes through. I mean, he's going to have a big, I know he's going to have a big game against Titans.
I fear
that Demaryius Thomas is going to have another offer on Monday night and few targets, and we're going to be sitting here questioning on Tuesday what the hell is going on with Demaryius Thomas, what's going on with this offense, and maybe this trade wasn't as great as we all thought.
They let him go for a reason.
That's what I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. The talk about how he's old and has nothing left. Maybe we saw his last three good plays of the season for those 61 yards, and this is what we're stuck with. That's what I fear.
I fear having to see another Mike Vrabel victory speech next Monday night.
Oh, yeah, but part of you kind of wants to hear it.
No, I don't. I want Mike Vrabel put out of his misery, but I fear Mike Vrabel going to NRG with his back against the wall against BOB, who he already beat in week two with a shorthanded team. I fear that Bill Belichick is BOB's daddy. I fear that Mike Vrabel might be B.O.B.'s stepdaddy.
Oh, there you go.
It's tough.
I fear Deontay Foreman gains 10 pounds on Thanksgiving. Y'all have buried the lead about this all week long. You say he's back in shape, he's going to play Monday night. What's Thursday? What's day after tomorrow? Landry?
So you're saying he's, you know, he's from Texas City, so you know he's going to get some of Mama's home cooking this week.
He's going to eat turkey and gravy.
Although I'll say this.
Pie.
I'll say this. I was with his dad on Sunday, and his dad was about to go watch the game with Deontay, because Deontay's staying back rehabbing while the Texans are on the road. And his dad goes, yeah, before I go there, I'm gonna go hit up my guy at this wing spot, and I'm gonna go get me a wing pack.
God.
And I was like, Derek, like, you're surely going to eat that before you go there, right? And he's like, I don't know. I might just take it and eat it. And I was like, Derek, eat it there and then go there. I was like, I don't want to see your son eating wings right now. And I damn sure don't want you to eat them in front of him. So he has to sit there with a watery mouth while you're doing it.
No. He's going to have thirds. I fear.
There's nothing wrong with thirds, but in his situation, there is.
He'll be all right. And then there's pies. Chocolate pie, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, apple pie.
What is chocolate pie like? That's soft, right?
Yeah, it's like a pudding almost.
Yeah,
those are our four staples: chocolate, pecan, pumpkin, and apple.
Y'all make that many pies? That's too much, bro.
Hey, Johnson's welcome. Come on, I got fried turkey too. Oh, I forgot, he's gonna have fried turkey and roasted turkey. He'll play Monday. He'll look like Carl Lewis out there. Shoot.
I think he'll be all right.
It's going to look like Jared Lorenzen, man.
I think he'll be all right. He was drinking a smoothie.
I'll tell you what, you have just totally changed the narrative for Monday night's game with Deontay Foreman. I didn't even think about it being Thanksgiving this Thursday. If you're Bill O'Brien and you sit and before everybody breaks, because you figure they'll go to practice, and of course they'll have practice tomorrow, what will you tell Deontay before he leaves practice leaves the facility? What are you telling him?
I'm going to say, here you are, Deontay. Come here, son. Follow me. Follow me to the weight room. I'm going to take him in the weight room. I'm going to look to my right. When you walk in on the right, there's a scale.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, Deontay, I want you to stand on this scale right there.
Oh, I like where you're going with this.
Whatever the weight says, I'm going to look at Deontay and I'm going to say, it better say that same damn thing when we practice on Friday or Saturday
morning.
Yeah.
Or else your ass is sitting on the sidelines and you're not playing.
No, that's the way to do it. Or just say, hey, man, white meat, buddy. White meat. Just the turkey. White meat, okay?
Stay away from the gravy. Yeah. Stay away from the giblets.
White meat and no giblets.
I think it's the rolls that you really got to be careful for.
It's everything.
You got to get rid of the rolls and the dressing. But really, you could just eat veggies, turkey, and be all right.
White meat and Brussels sprouts. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, let's call it what it is.
That's what I'm doing Thursday.
I'm not.
How many plates do you think you're going to try on? How many plates are you going in for on Thursday?
Lopez is going for.
No, I have a whole strategy
Lopez
here.
Lopez is an undercover heavy eater.
No. Trust me, I can eat heavy. I'm not going to deny that. But I like the first plate. Okay. And then I generally just kind of chill. And I'll have my pie about an hour after that while I'm watching football.
You're more into the long play.
But night game, that's a whole other round, man.
Really? Okay. So you're just redoing it.
I just redo the whole.
It's a doubleheader for you, essentially.
It's a doubleheader. I go full.
So your nightcap might actually be bigger than the main course.
Come on, man.
You know the most awkward thing? You know the most awkward thing is when your aunt brings over a nasty casserole. It looks disgusting.
It's and you got to have some of it.
Nobody wants to try it. Yeah. But then all of a sudden she's like asking you if you tried it. And you say, yeah. But then she walks over to it and she realizes that there's not even a scoop off of it.
See, no, I'm surprised your family hasn't told auntie that her food sucks.
Mm-hmm. No, it's usually like just the random aunt that like the third aunt or whatever
that's married that into just the family. It's really not blood, but you know.
There's always one dish that everybody's
this guy hasn't lived it out. This is Christmas Eve. My grandpa used to make shrimp gumbo. We still make it every Christmas Eve. That's our tradition. This dude married into the family. His first time at the place, scooping out bowls upon bowls upon bowls of shrimp out of the gumbo to where he just had the shrimp and nothing else.
Oh, that's
that
a
guy.
Bad look.
Nobody likes that guy.
He's that guy.
Nobody likes that guy. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, you guys know the drill.
Clock is ticking.
Here we go. 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610 is the phone number to chime in. Think Tank next, and the Big 12 had to reprimand somebody as well.